seen the big names move clubs. We now know which teams are playing when in 2020. So the final piece of the off-season puzzle is the AFL draft. Which young guns will your club select? And even before that, which picks will your club have? Because even that is not secure as we hit record on this podcast. Welcome to a special draft edition of the Fox Footy podcast, all thanks to Nutrigrain Unstoppable. And Nutrigrain athletes are taking on a world-first helicopter tow-in, and you can watch the full video at foxsports.com.au. Ben Waterworth with you, as is the man about to enter grand final week for him, that is, foxfooty.com.au's draft guru, Matt Barmer. Hello, Matthew.
Ben, it's good to be in the Fox Footy bunker for once for the first time this year. It's nice to be back.
Nice to have you in the bunker because it is your grand final week, and it's an interesting time of the year because the footy news cycle does dwindle. And it does lose a little bit of momentum, particularly after the fixture and during the middle of Cup Week. What's happening behind the scenes now? Because we know a lot of the guys, certainly in Victoria, are having their school exams now. Are clubs on a bit of a sojourn at the moment and not doing much, or are there negotiations happening behind the scenes?
Yeah, there's still plenty going on behind the scenes, as weird as it might sound. Mm. In terms of interviewing players, that's pretty much off the cards. The players have to sit their exams. There's a few kids doing uni exams as well. So it's not just sort of the school exams across the board, across the country. But again, there are some kids that are completely done their exams, their tradies, they're doing different things. So some clubs are still doing a few interviews at the moment. Most of them will sort of come in the next sort of 5 to 10 days.
Yep.
And then they'll really ramp up before the draft. We saw last year, Gold Coast went to Ben King's house 3 days out from the draft and pretty much said, "This is happening, you're coming to the club." Type of thing. So those things really happen pretty late in the process. But at the moment, clubs are still watching vision. Next week, there's a bit of testing going on and a bit of medical stuff with a few of the players that missed the combine or missed throughout the latter part of the year. So those guys will get put in front of the medical departments and the clubs will get a chance to see a last-minute sort of 2K time trial, which we saw a few kids do late last year. But yeah, they're still making phone calls. They're still chatting to family and still chatting to friends. But pretty much at the moment, there's not one chat between players and clubs. It might be between clubs and clubs, but yeah, that's what's going on at the moment. So there's still things going on.
And the clubs as well, we only saw the one trade be done in between the end of the trade period and the start of the draft, which clubs are now allowed to do. And we saw Collingwood do a trade with Geelong, which got them points for Will Kelly and Isaac Quainer in last year's draft. Do you anticipate, or can we see a few more deals being done pre-draft, or is the value of having trades done on draft night just so much greater than any pre-draft trades?
Yeah, there's a few things brewing behind the scenes at the moment. Whether they happen, as you say, now, or whether they happen on draft night sort of remains to be seen. As you sort of allude to, the points, I sort of guess the picks, are probably worth a bit more on draft night, in a sense that if you're a club with a top 10 pick on draft night and a club comes calling for you and wants that pick, if they want it, they're going to have to pay not only just the premium, but probably a little bit more, just so they've got the pick. And it shows how valuable it is that there were that many calls last year in the rooms that you probably don't see on TV and the club sort of chat about that, you know, can we get pick 12 off you? Can we get pick 15? Yep. You know, what's the deal? And they didn't happen. We saw Carlton and Adelaide get the deal done. But clubs at the moment are speaking about those sort of deals. You know, we've seen GWS have got pick 6 at the moment, and it'll be a big surprise to see them take pick 6 into the draft, in a sense that when it gets to Melbourne at pick 3 or Adelaide at pick 4, you'd think the Giants would be the first club on the phone saying, "Hey, can we do this deal? Can we make a move?" But there's no doubt they're chatting about it now. Yeah. It's not as in that they're going to walk into the night and say, "Hey, let's do this deal."
Yeah, and that's the benefit of live trading now, because the Giants were in a similar situation a couple of years ago with Tim Taranto. While they during the trade period, drafted up to get pick 2, ultimately in the end, because they wanted that early pick, they ended up getting Taranto on the night, but now they can try and do that on the night and not have to stress about it so much during the trade period. And then with you adding the Tom Green situation as well, trying to get a pick in before Tom Green is their star academy prospect.
Well, if you look at it now, and if Jed West did the deal with Adelaide, let's say, for pick 4, will Melbourne go, "Well, of course they're trying to get Tom Green with pick, you know, a pick with pick 4, then Tom Green." So why would they do the deal now, knowing that Melbourne might go, "Oh, well, we're going to throw your plans out the door and we're just going to bid on him," type of thing. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, a lot of chats sort of between clubs, between recruiters, between the list managers, between everyone, because it's got to be a whole club emphasis and a whole club deal. Carlton rated Liam Stocker as their 6th best player last year, so they took him. And they were like, "We're going to go out there and do whatever it takes to get him." And in the sense, they probably won the deal, sort of in their minds at the moment. Adelaide sort of got a pick four. But
yep. And as we record this, he's just signed a three-year deal just moments ago as well. So a good day for Liam Stocker and the Blues. Just one final one on potential movement here. Do we see any clubs potentially making more than GWS, making a big play in the live trading and trying to get up draft order? Geelong have been heavily linked to something like that.
Yeah, Geelong's on record saying that they would consider it, and I think they certainly are.
Yep.
It's just, again, it's finding striking the right balance between the deal and what clubs would want to go back. We saw in trade period, Port Adelaide went from 10 to 12 and 18 through the deal through St Kilda, and while Port Adelaide fans might not think it was the greatest deal and they gave up so much and they only got things back, they've got two picks now in that first round instead of one.
Yep.
There's a few things bubbling around. Like Gold Coast at the moment have got 15 and 20. Would they just go up and try and get another top 10 pick and get in three really good players? Because they're going to take Anderson and Rowell with one and two. But, you know, they've got an option is, do they take 15 and 20 and take two Oakley kids maybe or two Vic Country kids? Or do they try and get into the top 10 and say, nah, there's a kid that we really like and we're going to do the deal? Those are the sort of ones with, if you've got two picks, you probably can afford to do it. Whereas if you've probably got one, I'm not quite sure we'll see an example of last year's trading a first-round pick into this year, but
yep.
It remains to be seen. We saw Melbourne and North Melbourne do it in trade period.
So that probably leads us into a conversation about who might be the big players during this trade, during the draft and the trading of picks. You've mentioned Gold Coast beforehand. They've got the top two picks and then those two others, one in the first round and then one at the start of the second round. Melbourne have two top 10 picks, how it stands at the moment. The Dockers also have a couple of early ones, and Port Adelaide, as you mentioned as well. Last week, you did a piece on who your club should select or might consider selecting with their first picks. Let's have a look at the Demons in particular, because there is seen as a bit of a chasm between pick two and pick three. Pick two probably being Noah Anderson, and pick three being, you could throw a blanket over players like Ash, Lockie Ash and Hayden Young, Brody Kemp to a certain extent, maybe before his ACL injury. What do you think the Demons probably need, and who might be in their thinking as they head towards a pretty important draft for them?
Yeah, it is an important one, and it's a weird one because you look at Melbourne 12 months ago and you go, well, how are they going to have two top 10 picks next year when they probably could contend for the flag?
Yeah,
I think the way you look at it, you look at what do Melbourne need. They probably need someone in their back half. They need a bit of speed. They're a bit slow in a sense. So that'll mean guys like Lockie Ash and Hayden Young, who are both sort of halfback flanks. They're very different. Lockie's more of a burst runner.
Yep.
Hayden's more of that controlled guy who collects the footy and kicks it really well.
Yep.
So they're sort of the two guys you think they'll toss up at pick three-ish. But, you know, there's a lot of other guys in the mix. Sam Flanders, Caleb Sarong, who are two similar sort of mid-forward types that will come into that mix. The big enigma is Luke Jackson, the ruckman.
Yeah. So he's been linked to pick three.
He has been linked to pick three, and he could be there at pick eight. And that's the, I guess when you got two picks in close range, that's the thing you're thinking about. Can someone we're not taking at pick three actually slide to pick eight? Could Lockie Ash get all the way to pick eight? So we probably don't need to take a halfback flank at pick three in a sense, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't have thought they'd do Hayden Young and Lockie Ash with three and eight because they're two of the similar. So I guess you weigh up what's there, and they've been linked to Cody Waitman a bit with pick eight. Miles Bergman's another name that they've been sort of linked to. With
A couple of forwards.
Yeah, a couple of guys sort of the mid-40 range.
Yep.
And then obviously there's Luke Jackson. It's sort of just, it's really hard to tell. Devin Robinson's a real inside midfielder, but do they need inside types? It's sort of a catch-22 when you've got top 10 picks. You probably just take the best available, but there are a few needs that you look at Melbourne and you go, they're really good at that. They don't really need another one of those. And so it's sort of, they're the most fascinating one, I think, inside the top 10. There's guys like Freo's got 7 and 10.
Yeah. And with Freo having pick 7, particularly because they just lost Aaron Sandilands, it's hard to see Luke Jackson going past pick 7.
Yeah, you'd think, I mean, and pick 10 is the same range. And again, that's that same discussion. Do they take someone at 7 knowing Jackson gets to 10?
Yeah.
Is, you know, vice versa, does Devin Robinson, WA captain, Lark medalist, around the same? And they're two guys that could be there 7 and 10, as it turns out, or whatever they need. But I think Jackson would be the one for Fremantle. It makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen Stranger Things, so he could be off the board well before then.
Yep. And the other thing to note with Fremantle as well, and this is a very strong WA pool as well. They won the NAB AFL Under 18 Championships for the first time in a decade in July this season, and there's a lot of strong talent coming from that pool. You mentioned Devin Robinson beforehand, who won the Lark Medal, Luke Jackson, the star ruckman. The one that is going to be interesting from a Fremantle perspective is Liam Henry, who's their next generation academy. And you wrote a really good piece on foxfooty.com.au, Matt, a couple of days ago, profiling this guy who has got a world of personality, a really entertaining person to be around, but just as importantly from a footy fan's perspective, he's darn talented on the field.
Yeah, he's a real fascinating one, because when you think of a lot of the WA kids, and some of them don't interview as well, and that's probably sometimes what puts clubs off, you know, they're very quiet, they're a bit shy. How are they going to go across the border and bring him over to South Australia, bring him over to Victoria? And it's the same with some Victorian kids going interstate. You go, they're very quiet, they might struggle to fit in. Liam Henry's completely different to what we've seen in the past. Clubs absolutely love him because he's an amazing talent on the field, but off the field, he's very funny. He talks fantastically well, and he was one of the best interviews, not for myself, but from what a lot of the clubs say.
Yeah.
He's got a notebook. He walks in there and says, you know, John Lomai for Sydney, for example, you know, I like this, or where do you see me fitting in? What are my strengths? You know, can I improve this and that? He's probably going to end up at Freo, but I can tell you right now that the 17 other clubs would want to get their hands on him,
right,
because he's so classy, but it's just the way he presents himself. He's really switched on, and I think he's going to have a long AFL career.
Do you have a sense of where a bid might come on him? Because there's been some differing views on where that might be. Some say as early as 10 to 15. Some might say a little bit in the second round. Is it sort of that wide open at the moment?
I think Freo will get their 7 and 10s in for sure.
Okay.
So that those two picks will be off the board. Then they've got pick 22, which probably falls into the range of, you think Henry's probably a, let's say, pick 13 to pick 20. She's sort of that latter stage of the first round. So they're a club that could trade up that 22, try and get another pick in, then take Henry and see her. That's our four picks. Or they'll obviously match the bid with 22. He's certainly in that latter stage of the first round. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, a club like Richmond, they've got pick 19 at the moment. Port Adelaide's got pick 12. Those sort of range.
Yep.
Brisbane Lions pick 15. Like, they're all in that range for Liam Henry. So I think I'd be surprised if he got into the 20s. I think it's going to be in the sort of the teens.
Port Adelaide were very busy during the trade period. And as you mentioned beforehand, a big deal with St Kilda that had some power fans and power greats, namely Kane Corns, questioning the deal. Where do they sit now from a draft perspective? Because they're not early in the draft, but they are well stocked, I suppose, from a first round perspective.
They're an interesting case, Port. A few years ago, they went the mature ages. Then we saw last year, they took the three first round kids and they were amazing this year, and you can't fault it at all. So if they can do the same thing with 12 and 18, that's what they need to do, because it worked extremely well. We saw Connor Rosey, amazing, and those sort of guys. Butters was impactful. Xavier Dersma, not only was he celebrating, he was performing well on the field out on the wing. I think with 12 and 18 is that the fact they've gone down from 10 to 12 isn't much. The player that they probably wanted at pick 10 is probably going to be there at 12 in all reality. I think Hawthorn's the team that's got 11, so they're in between, but you know, you do your due diligence. You sort of find out, you know, what do Hawthorn want to do? And it's the same as the other clubs with two picks in close range. You're finding out as much as you can about the picks around you. So I think they're a hard one. Could they go Fisher McAsee, the tall, sort of replace that Dougal Howard? There's a couple of smalls that provide a bit that could really fit their bill. They're a sort of hard one to gauge, and you've probably got to see what happens in front of you.
Yeah. Well, South Australian small forward Dylan Stevens, I know, is one of your favourite of this draft class. Could he be available for someone like Port Adelaide at that range, pick 12?
Yeah, Port would love a sort of him to play on the wing in a sense of that classy outside run. They've got a lot of inside midfielders, so that's certainly an area they won't draft, I wouldn't have thought.
Yep.
They'll go for an outside type or maybe a hybrid tall. But yeah, Stevens at 12, if he was there, he would probably be their number one pick on their draft board, I would have thought.
Yep.
But will he get there? That's the catch 22, and it's probably an unlikely more than likely, but he'd be perfect for them because that's exactly what they need. Left footer, runs hard, works really well. So he's certainly one in that mix, I would have thought.
And they might have to bank a couple of, well, I do have a lot of points at the moment in the 60s and early 70s, and that's not a lot of points, but they will probably have to match a bit on Jackson Mead, looking like an early second round at the moment. The son of Darren Mead, a really well-balanced, well-rounded midfielder.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the sort of the 25 to 35. I don't think there's as much sort of hype, I'm not going to say a word hype, but, you know, want. He was pretty good. He's, you know, played some good games this year. Finn McGuinness probably seems to be another one. He's Hawthorn, father's son, but he's probably more of a 15 to 25. I would say Mead's more of a 25 to 35, maybe 40. Port at the moment have got a pick in the 20s, which is pretty late.
29.
They'd be hoping that is sort of used in the draft, and then they can match Meade. If they get a bit of a whiff that someone around the 25s might do it, well, they might try and flip 29 to 22 or that sort of thing, vice versa. So they'll be pretty flexible. I think, like most clubs, you pick them where they are ranked. So if a bid came in at pick 20 and they didn't have him until their sort of 30s, I wouldn't expect them to match.
This is a really interesting draft because we're coming off a draft last year that was, in the lead-up to it, dubbed a potential super draft. And 1 year after the actual draft occurs, it is looking like there's just so many... It's a huge gold mine where so many clubs have been able to nail some of these picks. What's club's perspective at the moment on this draft class, which is walking in the shadow of a really strong draft?
It's hard to follow the Super Draft 2.0 from 2018, and you look at the impact that some of those guys had this year. Amazingly, two of the best ones, Isaac Rankin and Max King, didn't even play.
Yeah.
So that's only going to get better. So clubs obviously don't see it in the same caliber as 2018. A lot of them will say it's probably not as deep. And the one fascinating thing is that a lot of the clubs say is that there's probably going to be more misses than hits in the latter sort of stages of the draft, especially from sort of 20 to 50. Every club will see it very differently this year, and that'll mean that some clubs will almost laugh when someone's name gets called out, thinking, "Oh, we've got him in the 50s. Why is he going in the 20s? And it'll be vice versa, and everyone will have a bit of a different opinion on this year's draft pool, and that's the feeling. It's a real unknown one, that there's so many guys that could go left field or could go either way. That could be really good players or that could be real flops. So
makes mock drafts pretty hard to do.
It does. And then some clubs look at next year's draft and they go, geez, 2020's a real struggle and not as good. 2021 looks, pretty decent, probably on par with this one and probably a little bit better. But next year's the worry. So again, do they trade picks in this year and try and move things around? So that sort of remains to be seen as what happens there.
And it'll be interesting to sort of see what future picks are dealt with on draft night as well, because Kingy talked about it so much on Fox Footy's trading day during the trade period about how compromised next year's draft is and the amount of players linked via academy or particularly academy or father-son picks next year.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of learning from last year's draft day and draft night, I guess, in the sense that clubs will know how it all worked last year. Last year was sort of a trial run. This year they've had a lot more time to put into it and a lot more time into sort of strategies and how we're going to maneuver ourselves for not only this year but for next year. Carlton and Adelaide did the pick swap, and look at Adelaide, they ended up with a top five pick.
Yep.
And Carlton ended up with one sort of at the backstage of the top 10, which Adelaide would have thought they'd do a lot better, and Carlton would have thought they would have done a lot better as well. So we'll sort of see those sort of deals, I think, still happen, but there'll be a lot more thought gone into it rather than we're going to make a rash decision.
No matter what draft, though, there's always a few diamonds in the rough. We always find that clubs strike gold later in the draft. And you've got a power rankings coming up over the next couple of days on foxfooty.com.au, starting on Friday, which will see rankings 25 to 50 or 26 to 50, somewhere around there. And then on Sunday night on foxfooty.com.au, check out the power rankings number 1 to 25 for all the top draft prospects. Of the guys that you've profiled who are in that 25 to 50 bracket, who are some that clubs might be able to strike gold and that you've got a good hunch about?
Yeah, it's always an interesting exercise, and you go back and you watch a bit more of the vision and you pick up little things that you probably didn't see at the start of the year and a bit more stats, and you look in depth and go, oh, maybe I didn't notice this. And a few clubs do the same thing, and that's what they're doing at the moment. They are going back, reviewing footage. They're really narrowing in on their list, because they will walk into the draft with 60 names and that's it. And if those 60 names are scratched out by the time their pick comes out, well, that's it.
They're passing.
That's it. We're done. We're not just going to throw a pick at some random kid because we haven't done a lot of work on him. They will physically whittle it down, and they find, pick 26 is just as important as pick 50 and just as important as pick 2. And Sydney Swans are a club that have done it fantastically well in the rookie draft. They nail those picks and look at those premiership players. There's a few guys in that list of 26 to 50 that have been injured this year and we haven't seen them at the best. Mitch Georgiadis is one from WA. Yep. There's Flynn Perez from Vic Country, both been injured all year, haven't seen them. They're two guys that I think were probably in that maybe 15 to 25 range, and I still think they'll go in the second round somewhere, but they've sort of fallen back in a sense of being forgotten. Jack Ross was someone last year that went in the second round or in the latter stages of that, and he didn't even come to the National Combine. So there's so many opportunities for guys now, and you look at the names, there's, come through the VFL, Jake Riccardi, absolutely dominated. He won the Fothergill Mitchell medal. And,
yes.
And the last 13 winners have gone on to play yep. AFL or been drafted in the AFL. So you think he gets an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Where that is a bit unknown because he dominated for Werribee this year, kicked 38 goals in 20 matches. There's so many other guys a bit sort of smaller or have a bit of X factor but haven't got the full package. Cozzy Pickett from South Australia is one.
Yeah, he's going to be a favourite.
He's just been invited to the draft next week. Oh, sorry, for 2 weeks' time. So, you know, he'll be there. That must mean that there's a club in that first 20 that really like him.
Right.
In a little sense. And a lot of clubs...
But would he be in the top 25 in your draft power?
No. So I've spoken to a few clubs that are a bit the same. They've probably got him in that 30 to 35, 40 range,
yep.
thinking he's got some great skills, but where's he going to fit in at AFL level and that yep. sort of things. And that's the thing with these sort of hidden gems in a sense that they're all lacking something, you know. He can't kick or, you know, his athletics not there or maybe he's going to take 12 months, he's a ruckman or he's going to take 2 years to develop, but we're going to take a punt on him. And that's what you find with some of these hidden gems. And as I mentioned before, there's probably a lot of misses or hits here. But if you find one and you strike gold, well, it can pay off for years to come.
It certainly can. Like your phone's been running hot already, so I assume it's going to be running hot, pretty hot over the next month as well as we count down to the draft. You must be like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, there's plenty of phone calls at the yeah. moment, and there's a lot of people asking things and asking favours and what have you heard? And that's what it is like at this time because they are all trying to piece the puzzle together as
yeah.
much as I am and everyone else is trying to do because yeah, there's so much information going around. How much of it is true? Are they trying to leverage things and can... You know, things change in the next 48 hours to 2 weeks. You know, some clubs a few weeks ago would have said, oh, Cody Waitman, like, nah, he's not worth a top pick. And then now they've done a lot more review and go, yeah, you know what, he's probably still in that 10 to 15 range, but we actually really like him. And there's so many players that change, chop and change. Clubs at the start of the year would have really hated someone and now they really like him and vice yep. versa. So you see clubs move and shape their draft order there. Looking at the whiteboard and sliding magnets up and down, and that's the reality of it this time of year.
And the important thing is, if you do take a selfie at a club, make sure you don't have the whiteboard in the background when you take the selfie. Matt, great to have you part of the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker today in this special draft edition. We'll have a couple more in the lead up to the draft, which will be broadcast live on Fox Footy. But make sure you keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au because we've spoken to over 30 draft prospects, and we'll be rolling out a whole heap of content as we already have on the website over the next couple of weeks, and we'll have a couple more podcasts as well on the Fox Footy Podcast. All thanks to Nutrigrain Unstoppable, and Nutrigrain athletes take on a world first helicopter tow-in, and you can watch the full video at foxsports.com.au.